Regarding related parties, a revision to existing standards could address, among other things, whether certain related party transactions should be presumed to represent fraud risks, the auditor's responsibility with respect to transactions with management, including compensation, and other relationships, such as transactions with former executive officers of a company that might pose risks similar to related party transactions. Research shows that financial relationships with related parties are often a factor in corporate financial reporting scandals. Another standard on our agenda pertains to global quality controls. That standard principally deals with audit firms operating in affiliated networks. Among other things, this project will address existing requirements in Appendix K of the SEC practice section that the PCAOB adopted as part of our interim standards. Matters in Appendix K include reviews of U.S. filings audited by foreign affiliates and global inspection procedures. The staff is currently analyzing issues associated with this project. If the board decides that the staff should proceed with this project, we're targeting the second quarter of 2010 for the board to issue a concept release or a proposed standard on this item. Somewhat related, the next item is another standard-setting project which deals with part of an audit performed by other independent auditors. The current audit standard at section AU 543 addresses considerations by the auditor in determining whether he or she is the principal auditor, and then whether he or she should make reference to the audit of another auditor who performed part of the audit. We've noticed numerous issues through our inspections process with respect to the decision to be principal auditor, and therefore we believe we should address this matter in a proposed revised standard. Also, we believe that the principal auditor may need to know quite a bit more about the other auditors that he or she is relying on, including reliance by the auditor on affiliated firms who have performed part of the audit. We'll be discussing this matter with the board in the first quarter of 2010. Next, under AU Section 341, the auditor has an obligation to evaluate whether there is reasonable doubt about an entity's ability to continue as a going concern for a reasonable period of time, not to exceed 1 year from the date of the financial statements. The FASB has a project on its agenda regarding going concern, and based upon the outcome of that project, we may need to make changes to our auditing standard. Two of the major areas being discussed at FASB are the period to be assessed, that is 1 year or longer than 1 year, and the interpretation of the term substantial doubt. So based upon FASB actions, we may make an amendment to our standard. If FASB doesn't take actions, we'll continue to look to see if there is a need to address this item. Similarly, with respect to subsequent events, we're evaluating the FASB's new accounting standard on subsequent events and analyzing how it may affect the board's related auditing standard and how it could affect audit reports. The final item on our current agenda pertains to other quality control requirements that were adopted from the AICPA SEC practice section as part of the board's interim standards and are requirements for only those firms that were part of the SEC practice section at the time. We are analyzing different options, including extending these requirements to all firms. Requirements in these standards are varied and include independence quality controls, continuing professional education, notification to the SEC of resignations or dismissals from audit engagements of SEC registrants, and certain other matters. We plan to address these items in the first half of 2010. This project excludes Appendix E, which was superseded by AS7, and excludes Appendix K, which I mentioned is part of another standard-setting project. That covers our standard-setting agenda. Certain other matters pertaining to SEC proposals pertaining to broker-dealers and investment advisors, certain other recommendations of the Treasury Advisory Committee on the audit profession, and certain recommendations of the SEC's Committee on Improvements in Financial Reporting are not on the standard-setting agenda, but could move on to it or could become priorities. And finally, other legislative developments, accounting developments, or emerging issues could impact our standard-setting priorities. So let me pause for a moment and see if anybody has any comments at this right now with respect to our standard-setting agenda that we've laid out before you, and hopefully in sufficient detail to give you a picture of what we're doing and over what time frame. Galen Hansen.
I'll go first. Thank you, Marty, for that was very informative. I appreciate the call for questions from this group. I participated in that, and I think having this greater transparency, this grid that you just went through, gives me a better idea of what's going on. I think that'll be appreciated by the public. A few things that I got enumerated here just off the top of my head, but it seems to me like at some point that the board needs to take a step back and look at a framework type of project, and I hesitate to use that word framework because I really don't like it. I think it's overused a lot, but define what audit quality is and what does it mean to protect investors. So just that's one thought. And then two other things, being a member of the Treasury Committee and the report that was issued, a couple of the recommendations were to look at the whole audit report, the auditor's responsibility with respect to fraud, expanding that. Considering, and then I know that the PCOB is following up on the fraud center, or as I'd like to call it, maybe the anti-fraud center. If you have a comment on where that stands, I think the group might benefit from knowing what the PCOB is intending to do with that. And then lastly, on this global standard number 8. What is quality? Global quality. I just wonder. The AICPA adopted Statement of Quality Control Standard number 7, well over a year ago. That went effective at the beginning of this year. That was for private companies, and I wonder whether or not that could be considered for adoption as sort of an interim standard if this is going to take as long as what I'm seeing on this grid, because it addresses a lot of things like leadership responsibilities. We've had one of those discussions at a SAG meeting. What is the responsibility for national office people? And that is clarified in SQCS number 7. I think there's a lot of good things in that that should be brought to bear almost immediately. So those are just a few thoughts off the top of my head.
Thank you for all those thoughts, and there are a lot of good ones. And before I comment on some of those points, and I will comment on them, I see a couple of other cards up, and let me try to take some other comments and see if they're similar, and I can combine my comments at one point in time. I think Joe Carcello, put your card off. Joe?
Yeah, as it turns out, my comment does follow on what Galen said, and it relates to the recommendations of the Treasury Advisory Committee. And for the benefits of those who did not follow that group closely, and particularly for the benefits of the people here from the press, keep in mind that that group was co-chaired by Arthur Levitt, one of the longest-serving SEC chairmen in history, and Don Nicolaysen, who was a former SEC chief accountant and a very senior partner at a Big Four firm. Had David Becker on it, who was the former head of Corp Fin at the SEC, Lynn Turner, who had a similar background to Nicolaysen, a former SEC chief accountant, a former senior partner at a Big Four firm, former CFO, investor people, Damon Silvers and Ann Yerger, Galen, representing both a regional accounting firm in NASBA, Barry Melanchon from the AICPA, Goldman Sachs had a representative, the Bank of America had a representative, CEO of a Big Four firm, Paul Volcker. The point I'm trying to make is this was an extremely qualified group and an extremely diverse group, and that it was well-balanced, in my opinion, between the corporate community, the accounting community, and the investor community. And one of their, in my opinion, more important recommendations, and this is dovetailing with what Galen said, is defining the indicators of audit quality. If you don't define that, how are you going to create standards that hold the profession to that? How are you going to inspect to hold the profession to that? How are you going to enforce to hold the profession to that? And we had, I thought, a very good discussion of that topic. And in looking at the disposition of the topics that we've discussed in this group over the last X number of years, Marty, I see in another handout that I guess you're going to talk about eventually, that is listed here, and its status is not a current standard-setting project. So that's your answer, Galen. And I think in the interest of accountability and transparency, which the board talks about a lot for the accounting profession, I think about in the interest of accountability and transparency, when the board makes a decision, particularly on the recommendations that come out of that Treasury group, I think there should be an explanation given as to why the board is essentially rejecting the recommendation. I think the investing public deserves that.
Joe, thanks for those comments. Since anybody else have a comment on audit quality? Is it the recommendation of ACAP to define audit quality? Because if not, Arnold does. Arnold?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that on the agenda of the IAASB, we will embark on a project on audit quality as well. We've just begun that. Actually, next Monday, I will be speaking in London for the Audit Quality Forum on this subject. So it's a very beginning phase, but of course it's very important for all the reasons mentioned. And also related to that, on auditors' reports, we will hear in the board meeting in December outcome of a joint research project sponsored both by the IAASB and the AICPA by four academics on auditors' reports. So I would offer that indeed it's very important that we embark on these projects, and also that we, from the IAASB perspective, are doing our bit and are very willing to cooperate on these efforts.
Thanks, Arnold, for that input. Let me comment just briefly. There's a number of other cards up, but let me comment briefly on the subject of audit quality. I think, as many of you know, we did have a lengthy session with respect to audit quality indicators at a SAG meeting about a year ago, where we had a discussion group here at the meeting, and then we had breakout groups and discussed indicators of audit quality. That was a very valuable discussion, and as you note, that is on the topic that I'll be talking about in a few minutes about the prior SAG discussions, but I'll drift into it now. We received significant input at that discussion and a lot of support for the importance of measuring and defining audit quality. On the other hand, we also, for virtually all audit quality indicators that we discussed at that meeting, there seemed to be as many potential negative unintended consequences for certain audit quality indicators as there were benefits. And we left the meeting with a feeling that this needed a lot more exploration and a lot more discussion. General agreement: identifying audit quality indicators, a good idea. What are the audit quality indicators? A lot more work yet to be done.
and be careful to avoid unintended negative consequences. So with that, you're right, it's not a current standard setting priority, and we've set out current standard setting matters that we're working on right now. That's a pretty ambitious project and schedule, I think. Doesn't mean that we're ignoring it and we're not listening. There are a number. Arnold mentioned they have a project underway. IOSCO has a paper that they've published on the subject as well, where they've sought comment by December 1st on transparency and audit quality. We'll be monitoring that paper and those responses and be cognizant of what's discussed there. So there are a lot of parties that have looked into audit quality in the past and have all agreed that it's a great subject to pursue and let's define it, but have come up a little bit blank in terms of what the right answer is. We're continuing to listen to determine what other input comes along, what other inputs are there from others studying this that we might find to be of value. Some other comments Galen made that I'll get to in a minute, but before I do that, let me see, there's some other cards up. I think, Lynn, you've had your card up, so let me go to Lynn Turner.
Thanks, Marty, and I wish you the best of luck in this position. I'd like to build on Galen's and Joe's comments. There are a number of us around the table who were involved with the Treasury Committee report, as Joe mentioned. And it's now been a year, actually over a year, since the Treasury Committee report was issued. It was issued actually this week, about a year ago. And there were a number of things in that Treasury Committee that were recommended for the PCLB to work on. The audit report, and I commend you for taking a look at what you're already doing on signing the report. That's a good thing, but there was something in there about improving how auditors communicate to investors through that audit report that I think is extremely important. You've got audit committee communication on the agenda, which I think is an important part of that, but it certainly what we heard during those hearings that we held a number of them, was there needs to be better communication directly to investors through that audit report, and investors were certainly looking for that. There was the point on audit quality, which was mentioned. That was teed up by a retired Big Four audit partner who, if I recall right, might have actually been from your my former firm, Marty, that had some excellent ideas. And I, just because people say there's unintended consequences, that's probably the most overused phrase here in Washington, D.C. these days. It's always used when people don't want to do something or don't want to have something happen. They just automatically label everything as unintended consequences. And I'd be disappointed if the PCLB used that as a reason not to do something with that, not to further study, not to get into, and not to actually do something on that, because audit quality is obviously what we're all headed for. But there was also stuff in there on the fraud center. And one thing that I'm concerned about is I've heard that the SEC has grossly limited the budget of the PCLB to be able to develop that fraud center. And if that was true, I'd be very concerned about that. Seems like that would be a limiting move by the PCLB or by the SEC to protect investors, when in fact the Treasury Committee thought that was something that definitely needed to be done. There are also things in there on governance and improving the transparency of the accounting firms, and especially in light of what we've gone through in this country over a lack of transparency and a lack of regulators regulating the entities that they're responsible for overseeing, it seems highly unusual that in this environment to this day, quite frankly, this board doesn't get the financial information it needs to actually be able to oversee and regulate these firms. And I don't see those on the agenda. So I'd again just urge, as Galen and Joe have, that the board go back and take a serious look at that. And I don't see it on the agenda making list, which is quite extensive, and I'm not saying it's not good. because there are some very important things on there. There's a number of things on there that investors asked in a letter 5 years ago be done. It's kind of sad that we aren't 5 years down the road and aren't done, but understand what happened with SOX 404. But nonetheless, those are important things to be done. And with it not even being on the agenda, it does seem to be an outright rejection of the Treasury Committee report by this board.
Before I turn to a couple of other 10 cards that are up, with respect to the auditor's report, again, I'd say that we are paying attention to other activities that are going on with respect to that, as there's another IOSCO paper out with looking for comments by December 1st that deals with the issue about the audit report and whether or not it serves its purpose as a short-form, current short-form pass-fail kind of report, or whether the report should communicate other more detailed matters. And it's a pretty good paper that IOSCO's put out, and again, seeking comment by December 1st. So, again, while we're not working on that project right now, don't have it set for, as you indicated, for the very near term, we take your comments thoughtfully, and yours, Galen, who commented on that as well, and we're very cognizant of what others are doing in this area and paying attention to that, and including the comments that will come in connection with that IOSCO report. I think I'll comment on some of these other matters in a moment. Well, let me comment on the Fraud Center. With respect to the Fraud Center, the only thing I'll say is we are continuing to gather evidence with respect to what we might want to do with respect to that. I think that's a bit outside of the standards setting area, the Fraud Center, but I certainly am aware of the fact that participated in discussions where we're gathering evidence with respect to what would be the best way to address that recommendation. Ben Coleman.
Marty, I'm going to be moving to a different topic, so I just wanted to know, in other words, if you want to settle that first, back to your original recommendation, if there's anything, other points you want to make on the Treasury Committee, because I'm going to move on to a different topic.
Good. Thanks for deferring then for a moment. Jeff Mahoney?
Thank you. Just a question and then a comment. First, the question, I wonder if you can discuss how you use the results from the inspection process to develop the agenda. And then the comment, as you know, I sent you an email in response to your request, which was along the lines of the comments of Galen, Joe, and Lynn. And as I said in that email, and I would again respectfully request that the recommendations in the Treasury report that are directed at the PCOB that have been outlined, that they're either listed in the agenda somewhere with an estimate of your plan of addressing them, or, as Joe suggested, that you issue a public statement, or at least a statement to the SAG members, many of whom spent a lot of hours on that report, as to why you've decided not to address those recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Jeff. With respect to your question of inspections, that's an important aspect of our standard-setting process, where we learn from inspections, obviously, where they've noted deficiencies in auditing, and that can help inform our standard-setting agenda. And with respect to at least one or two items this morning I mentioned on the agenda, certainly with respect to fair value measurements, I commented that findings that with respect to some complex fair value measurements, we inspections noted lack of professional skepticism at times, and that informed our need to address fair value measurements further and additional guidance in that area. So we do take into account, whenever possible, inspections findings in informing our standard setting process. With that, Vin?
Okay, so let me just maybe change and go back to the standard setting and go up a level. But the first thing I want to do is, Marty, is really compliment you and thank you for soliciting the feedback. I've been on the SAG for 4 years. And a number of the items that you addressed will, I think, really improve the process. So I thank you for your opening comments with respect to listening to the input and changing some of the processes. Secondly, and maybe I've got really got 2 points. One is you mentioned earlier in your comments with respect to being able to define why in a standard that you would issue that there would be a difference between that and maybe the other standard setting activities. And I think an item that has come up over the years, you know, if you use the analogy of, you know, where we're going on this long road with respect to IFRS and convergence on a global basis. Similarly, you know, many of us, if you really think about audit quality, Lynn Turner was just talking about our whole premise here is audit quality, and having audit quality on a global basis, educating our people, and the execution rather than standard setting, one of the important ways of doing that is to have common standards around the world that you educate the people in and they understand how to execute them. So I was wondering, going up a level as a strategy, should the starting place generally be the international standards? Having influence over the international standard agenda, and then to the extent that we believe we need to have differences, AS5 is probably a wonderful example of that, that we have differences, but yet the starting place is a common platform, as opposed to having an agenda, a strategic agenda, that we believe that we need to continue to implement, that over time will be over an extended period of time, you're going to have just simply different standards. And I'm not sure that is healthy in the long-term audit quality in the execution. Secondly, I didn't hear anything, Marty, about when you're doing your activities, an item that's come up in the past is also an evaluation of the cost-benefit of a new standard. When you implement the standard, each of these standards have a cost and they have ramifications. And certainly the standards can be improved. They're going to constantly be improved, particularly as the world continues to change. That said, when the standard is input, it's an important element that it is, you know, the additional procedures are commensurate with the additional cost. And just not that you shouldn't do it, it's just there should be an awareness of what that is.
Thanks, Ben. First of all, thank you for your comments with respect to listening to the group and changing some operations, and hopefully that will improve processes going forward. I did mention with respect to AS7, certainly, that we looked at what other standard setters had done with respect to EQR and carefully laid out as an appendix in the release where we differed on the EQR standard and why. And we are committed to doing that going forward. I'll also say that we do work as a starting point in looking at where the ICES are on a particular area as we're developing our standard setting process. So as we're marching forward on our standard setting agenda here with respect to the many topics in place, we're very, very cognizant of what has been done by the IAASB and existing international standards on auditing, as well as what's being done at the Auditing Standards Board. And we'll reflect on that carefully as we develop new standards. So that is part of our protocol, and we carefully think about what others have done and then think about why that's either appropriate for us or not as we go forward. So that is an important element of our process. Greg Jonas.
Marty, first let me echo the comments Ben Coleman made about the improvements in the process that you've made. I find this absolutely refreshing, and the openness and transparency and the organization, the clarity of what you're doing here, I think is excellent and a real step forward, so congratulations. Obviously, the most important thing in standard setting is deciding on what's important to work on. And I'm reflecting on this discussion and thinking of maybe a way to more formalize this group's input into that, I think, most critical question. And And I'm reminded of the process that the FASB's Advisory Group FASAC goes through, which is fairly formal to gain FASAC input into what the priorities ought to be. And perhaps we should consider doing that with this group. Frankly, it's a pain to go through it because the members of this group, you know, would submit in writing their views about the priorities and why. The board would digest all that and then play it back to this group in terms of you know, actually put a slide up that shows this is what everybody thought on the priorities. Perhaps as a basis for that, we would have the following in front of us that would help us decide what we think your priorities ought to be. Your own good agenda that you've submitted here today. I like Vin's idea about the agendas of other standard setters. What are they working on? What do they think is important? What projects are in the wings, meaning things that the staff is doing research on and might bring to the board for an agenda decision? What the suggestions are of advisory groups, the audit advisory groups that several people have commented on today, and their good recommendations. CIFR, the SEC's advisory group, had a package of recommendations for the PCAOB as well. So, in other words, take inventory of all the waterfront of candidates and then say, okay, SAG members, tell me what our top 10 priorities ought to be and why. And if you think that none of the inventory captures an important project that you think is critical, tell me that project too and put it in the ranking of 10. I just think that would put a discipline to the key agenda decision process and maybe do it on an annual cycle. I think that could provide you some valuable input in addition to the good process improvements you've announced here today.
Greg, thanks for those comments. And let me comment as follows with respect to the many excellent comments we've received this morning as part of this discussion. Laying out our standard-setting agenda in this kind of detail with these kind of dates and putting all of that before you and then seeking your input on the standard-setting agenda is very similar, Greg, to in a large degree to what you said. FASAC does it in one way in the sense of telling in advance your top 10 things you'd like to see on our agenda. Another way here is essentially saying to SAG members, here's what we're working on. What are we not working on that you think we should be working on? And I think we heard a number of things pretty loud and clear from a couple of you as to we think you should continue to... We didn't see on here anything with respect to the auditor's report, and we'd like to hear about why that is either on or not on and what you're thinking in going forward is. So certainly that's the purpose of this meeting, and that's the purpose of us seeking this kind of dialogue, and I appreciate that input, and certainly you should all feel that input will be carefully considered by the staff as we come up with our recommendations to the board. One other comment, maybe before we have a break, and there's one other 10th card up, and we'll get to that, and then we'll take a break. With respect to the comment, I guess it was part of yours, I'm lost a little track here, the comment on global quality controls and the use of ASB's standard. I guess, Galen, that was your comment. I think there's two quality controls projects that we have on this agenda. One that I referred to in item number 8, which dealt with global quality control standards and really controls, if you will, over firms that operate with networks is really how that standard is potentially looking at, and some of what's in Appendix K today and maybe beyond Appendix K. The other standard that's of a quality control nature is application of number 4, Sarbanes-Oxley Act provision of failure to supervise. And supervision in the context there not only really goes to the supervision at an audit, but really that's going to supervision in a different respect of, if you will, areas of supervisory responsibility within a firm. Who's assigning, who assigns the engagement partner, who assigns the concurring partner on for a particular engagement, and what's the clarity of the lines of demarcation with respect to those assignments. So the application of looking at that quality control standard may get into many of the things that I think you were referring to. So thank you for your input, though, as well. We'll reflect on what other standard setters are doing. In addition, there's one more card up before we take a break and continue this discussion. Professor Cox.
I agree. I think we want to have you were talking about agenda going forward and about the content of the auditor's report, but I really think what I heard going around the table was that we needed to have a thoughtful explication pretty soon about those items that were in the Treasury Advisory Report that appear to merit further thought and explications as well as to items that would appear not, and have that set for a discussion here rather than just sort of ignoring it. I think that we jeopardize the integrity or the public perception of the integrity of the PCAOB, and I think that that was a thoughtful report. The fact that it was released about a year ago, and that we haven't focused upon that in a systematic way in setting the agenda for discussions here and perhaps carrying on discussions within the PCAOB, I think is troubling, to say the least.
With that input, thank you for that. We'll take a break at this point in time, and we'll be back at 10:45. Thank you.